keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind. Oh no, it's ponderoso. Dope so, no overdose. Cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock like I told you.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host Nick Burnaby here on UCY.TV from the Anti-Media.org. I'm also joined here by my co-host DB. How you doing, man?
Hey Nick, sounds like you drank some of that new Coke with Stevia or something.
Yeah, man, I lost my voice. I had a long weekend and have caught some kind of a cold or something, it seems like, and my voice is basically gone. When I woke up this morning, I wasn't sure if I'd be able to do the show tonight, but over the course of the day, it got slightly better. In the morning, I seriously couldn't talk at all. not too bad now, but I'm definitely going to need your help tonight to...
Yep. Well, hopefully we'll get some call-ins because there's so much crazy stuff going on. People, I really want to know if anybody out there listening, what the theory of the political theater going on with the ISIS and how we're kind of backdooring into Syria to get to Iran to save the petrodollar. And it's all just a big circus like usual. I want to hear what people actually have to say about, what's going on. It's like watching a very expensive production that costs lives, money, resources, time, things we can't get back, and we just need to stop all these productions from going on.
Yeah, man. It's just how are we going to put an end to all this propaganda, really? You know, and that's the question. And there was a link that we posted earlier on the Anti-Media on the Facebook page about how even despite all this propaganda now for Iraq and all that stuff, the public opinion just simply is not there. We are not going to have the public opinion to start another war in Iraq. So anything that Obama does over there is going to be highly, highly unpopular. I can tell by the look on him. He doesn't even want to do it, but he's being forced to. You can kind of tell by the body language. So, I mean, it's up to us to just let our voices be heard. And, I mean, some people were calling for a massive anti-war protest, and if someone wanted to put that together, I think that'd be something that we'd definitely support. I mean, and it's got to be soon. You know, it's got to be within the next week or two, otherwise it's going to be too late.
Yeah, I mean, you can see that they're trying to pretty much co-opt the whole Tea Party thing and pretty much roll in libertarian sentiments into the super crazy extreme fringe right wing people that really have nothing to do with what a real libertarian, and I mean a classical libertarian movement, has to do with, which is self-sufficiency, helping your neighbor, and owing the allegiance to a nation that would provide you military power to have freedom, and that would be it. to have freedom. Because if your government doesn't provide you freedom, then they don't do anything for you at all. And as we see our freedoms erode, like, we can understand that they'll turn the military apparatus inward if they have to, because they're not going to be thrown out of power.
One thing we have to remember in this, when we talk about freedom, right, and we talk about government, money is not freedom, right? So if we're talking about a government having a role of providing jobs, then the government has gone on the wrong track, because freedom is not money. Freedom is freedom. You know, and like you were saying, if the government is not providing freedom, but it's providing jobs, that they're not doing the role that they're supposed to be doing.
But what is jobs? I mean, so what? The federal government's the largest employer in our country. That's not a good thing. You know, there's no division of labor. There's no division of wealth. There's no ability for a guy to go out and become a huge regional player in some kind of industry and not be bought out by a multinational, and that it defeats the purpose. I mean, what is culture? What is the difference between me and a guy over in China who we've had completely different upbringings? Well, to a global elitist, nothing, because they only see people as robots in numbers, and that's the whole problem. We have people running things that aren't really human beings to begin with. They're completely emotionless, and we gotta pretty much unmask these people and boot them out.
So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think about this guy Elon Musk from the CEO of the Tesla car company?
So he's like a Branson. He's a tech pioneer. He wants to push the boundaries as far as he can. He sees the way the future's going. You know, he may be a guy that has similar sentiments to me and you, and decided to play the game. And he's brilliant, and he got really good at it, and got wealthy. But, I mean, he sees what is the future. The future is going to be, you know, having people on, you know, a gridless, self-sufficient homestead. It has to be. These giant Cargill-type, huge Monsanto-loving GMO pyramid scheme-type food systems cannot last that much longer. I mean, all it takes is one epidemic, and it wipes out the whole crop. So if people aren't hydroponically growing at least enough just to survive, it'll become a huge problem whenever we have a little hiccup in any kind of a crop anywhere.
Now, the last week they announced that they were going to make all of their patents open source, and that they're going to allow the reproduction of their technology from anybody basically for free. You know, you know, this is going to open the door, and you know how these Tesla cars are. When you buy it, you basically get free charging at any of the charging stations that they have. So yeah, you could charge it at home as well, but you can charge up for free for life on these things. You know, and that's what I really like about what they're doing. But I like that they're putting out all the patents so people can start building these charging stations, and then all these electronic car companies that are popping up, because, you know, building electronic cars is actually there's a way to do it decentralized. And I used to have a friend that would convert, you know, they would convert regular cars, they'd take the motor out, they'd put an electronic motor in there, they'd put a bunch of batteries in there and stuff. And then you can take basically any car and turn it into an electric car. And I think that's kind of what Tesla and Elon Musk, they're kind of setting the stage for that kind of technology to get mainstream, because then you can charge it up almost anywhere for free, almost.
And then our national security will be through the roof. We can actually cut our defense budget down probably to a third and still continue to have a massive, massive gap between us, China, and Russia, and be completely safe, and no more of these exploratory wars for resources where we have no interest in nation building. We're seeing it now. We're pulling out of Iraq, and we're using them again for political purposes. And the poor civilians over there, I don't know how many people have lost their lives, but it's got to be in the millions now. These things are never going to be forgotten. You know, so these people that are playing this little, you know, geopolitical game have to understand we have a forever war on our hands if we don't fix what we broke. And we're actually making it much, much worse by kind of not really even And who do we side with? ISIS looks like absolutely it's insanity, you know, manifested. And I can't understand how they're even still allowed to operate in any kind of theater. And I think it's kind of crazy to see that McCain was over there with them. I mean, who are these guys and why are they being unleashed on the world?
That's the thing. This radical group that's rising over there, they're a product of our own making, really. Whether it's the direct funding that they were receiving through Syria and through through Saudi Arabia and through Qatar, or whether it's just blowback from all the occupations that we've been doing in Iraq. I mean, it's been since before the 90s. I mean, it's been since the 90s and stuff, before that even, where we had this relationship with Iraq, where at first Saddam Hussein was our buddy, our pal, and now then he became our arch enemy, our nemesis all of a sudden. And a lot of this stuff was engineered by the same old players, you know, the old Bush, and he was the puppet, and then you got Dick Cheney, and I mean, Dick Cheney was the real mastermind of the George W. Bush presidency, man. I mean, this guy he wasn't like Joe Biden, where he's just a useful tool. I mean, this guy was actually one of the guys that are actually, you know, helping pull the strings around
the. Well, he was a handler. I mean, I don't know if a handler's been in the VP role before, but he was. He is Halliburton. He's a corporate face for Halliburton. He's a guy right now that's loving, absolutely loving this invasion going on right now on our border. And you know what, Nick, we don't really notice it, because let's be honest, man, we live in two countries as it is, kind of. We're not going to be affected. Arizona, Texas, they're going to get hit. They're going to have people coming over, and then they're going to transport them even deeper so they can get more state benefits. I mean, it's simple. If you bring in a lot of people, if you abolish the Constitution, if you abolish any reason to go about going through any channel to become a so-called citizen, which really means you're just a leverageable asset to Wall Street banking, well, then where do we live? What is this place anymore?
I mean, I think we've talked about it before. I mean, what we are now, and when we're born, we get our Social Security number. And that's why, honestly, why I really don't want to have kids right now, because if I have a kid and it's born in America with its Social Security number, you know, that's a social contract where you're going to, that kid automatically owes something like 50, 60 grand in debt, you know, because of all these wars and all this crap, all these bailouts.
It's over that now. And I think that's part of the reason why they're allowing the absorption of these people to come in, because they'll continually keep leveraging tax over these new citizens. And these people will gladly pay it because they're coming from a far worse situation. Meanwhile, the illustrious middle class is gone. It's gutted. The only one left in the world now is probably Canada. Now, Europe doesn't have a middle class. What they just decided to do is let's take care of everybody. But, of course, now they're being eroded from within as well because, well, people from the third world countries over there decided they'd come over and get their free benefits too. So there's no such thing as a free lunch. Socialism or anything else has a cost to someone somewhere. And if you're not feeling it now, you will later.
Exactly, man. And you got, I think you got really two forces here with this immigration crisis. Before we even jump into the causes of it, the one thing I want to point out is that, one, that they're housing these kids in warehouses. I don't know if you saw these pictures that came out, but I think what we're seeing...
They're FEMA camps, exactly, by Halliburton.
Exactly. What I was going to say is that we're seeing a prelude to what we're going to see as FEMA camps in a large-scale disaster or some kind of either a manufactured crisis, economic crisis. These are how people are going to be housed. You know, when shit hit the fan or whatever. Now, the other thing we got is a broken welfare state, where, like you were saying, people can come in and take advantage of the benefits because it's run by such a bureaucracy. These bureaucratic, entities actually get, you know, for more people they enroll, the larger the budget they get. It's not incentivized in the right way. It's inefficient. Now there are, of course, there's a lot of people that are legitimately taking advantage of these things, but there's a lot of people that are illegitimately taking advantage. I've met people that are on disability and unemployment that didn't have to be. You know, they had job offers or they weren't actually injured and stuff like that. I've met people like that. So, of course, the welfare state is one reason why we attract people into this country that aren't putting, aren't paying back into it. Because of the way it's set up, the taxation system and the way that everything is run, basically the middle class gets hit for everything, every policy mistake, every war, every decision, every time the welfare state gets larger and larger, guess who gets hit? The middle class, every time.
And the funniest thing about it is, personally, I'll know people that are educated, meaning they have a bachelor's degree or above, and they stay plugged into the system because it's comfy, and they think that their job will be there, and they think they're going to be able to go about life for 40 or 50 more years like it's been doing, and it can't. It just can't. It can't even do it now. How many people right now do we have doing jobs a computer or a robot can do, and we just do it because, well, it's just the way it's been. We have that everywhere in every industry. There's people with accounting degrees, and their jobs can be replaced tomorrow by a robot. They just use people to make other people feel better about it. There's still some jobs that people need to do that there's innovation for, but those days, they're coming to a close quickly. And I really have to question, are these people just that indoctrinated and insane that they have to? They can't understand that. They can't see the future's right around the corner, and it's not 50 years away. It's 5 or 3, or maybe it's even already here, but they just are going to unwrap it slowly. That way it doesn't cause mass panic. I mean, it's just, to me, befuddling that people don't get that the system as it is now eventually will be easily turned against them, and they will literally be a slave. It's just, it's going to be drones up in the air, and you don't do what they want. They hone in on a chip, and you're done.
Well, yeah, man.
It's so simple.
It's just a matter of if we're going to let a few people control us via politics and then control all the resources, all the wealth and the capital and all that, then if we let a few people run it, then only a few people are going to get very rich. You know, and that's why I've been always such a big fan of these autonomous communities and stuff like that, where we break away from this centralized ruling and all this stuff. Now, before we get into that, the other thing about this immigration crisis that we have to look at, and there's a lot of legitimate refugees that are coming from these Central American, Mexican areas. And I want to talk about why it's a manufactured crisis, because we're the ones that are causing the policies, and I'm talking about the drug war, that is sending a lot of these refugees from their home because they're fleeing the violence. You know, and it's just like in Syria, where it's very, very violent, and everyone's getting out of Syria. They estimate like over like 2 million refugees or whatever. But think about it. Down in Ciudad Juarez, which is right there on the border of I think it borders Mexico. It borders Texas. And Ciudad Juarez is more violent than Baghdad, at least right now. We still got to see what's going to happen in the next few weeks. But Ciudad Juarez, right there on the border, is more violent than Baghdad. And a lot of the people that are trying to get the hell out of that area are regular good people that are actually refugees that are running from the violence. And where's the violence coming from? The drug war. It's made by us. It's started by the American government.
What drug war? It's all fabricated. We know that the drugs that should be illegal are probably, not even a big portion of what the cartels make their profits off of, or could at least be very, very heavily regulated. It's just a fallacy. And then we throw guns to the cartels because we say it'll help us track them back, right? Why? Because, I guess there's chips in guns. Did anybody know about that? I didn't know about it. But that's now the new excuse, is that guns can be GPSed because these guys chipped all these guns. It's bogus, and now they're armed, and now guess what? They're sliding up into here, and they'll create chaos up here. I mean, as soon as anything major happens in the U.S., it's going to be the reaction they want that allows them to clamp down on everyone everywhere and really, really install this grid. I mean, this grid is unbelievable. If you think chemtrails are there for blocking the sun, it's a holographic screen. They're testing it out. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable what happens, and we're going to be witness to it. Only we'll be one of the, like, one out of 100 that knows what's going on. It'll be really, really strange.
Yeah, I was in Las Vegas over the weekend. My little brother had his birthday party up there. And that may be partially why I don't have a good voice for the show, other than the cold that I caught. There was that article we talked about, I believe it was on last Wednesday on the show, about how the weather, AccuWeather, was finally admitting that they were doing geoengineering, you know, on American soil. And there's at least six locations that they were doing it. Now, one of the locations that they mentioned specifically was Nevada. And I'll tell you, when I woke up on Saturday morning, when I got outside, I looked out, and there was clearly a type of geometric grid that they had put up with these condensation trails, like I think we should be calling them, that were filled with these chemicals. And they've admitted that they're trying to do cloud seeding over the skies of Nevada because they're experiencing a very, very bad drought. But you could definitely, clearly see that that's what they're trying to do. I mean, you got a bunch of lines, like, perfectly parlel, all next to each other. Spaced out. I mean, yeah, they're trying to do cloud seeding, geoengineering all over the country now.
And they're setting it up for Bluebeam. See, it has multifaceted purposes, where they'll have satellites portray a holographic alien invasion, among many other crazy things these guys have schemed. Because they can't lose control. If they lose control, it's the end. It's the end of everything. Chaos, anarchy. We go back to the Dark Ages. We all kind of know this. Me and you know this. But we also know that the people that have had us underfoot forever don't need to do it anymore, have no purpose anymore. The information's out there for everybody now, and we can all manufacture at home. And we don't. What do we need any of these things anymore? All these paradigms that have been just set up throughout history. They're ridiculous, and we just simply don't need to live this way.
And all this stuff, I mean, all these constructs, I mean, the military-industrial complex, the drug war, the tax policy, and all this stuff. It's all set up to transfer resources from the bottom to the top. And in that sense, it's definitely a pyramid scheme. It's definitely a Ponzi scheme. It's all topped off by the Federal Reserve and the Federal Reserve's handlers and the handlers of the central banks all around the world. and then all the wealth gets transferred up. Yeah, there's a few billionaires in the world, and everyone thinks these are the richest people. I mean, according to the media and stuff, they lead you to believe that Carlos Slim, a Mexican citizen, is the richest guy in the world. But the fact is that there's all these trust funds where all this money that keeps funneling upward, it ends up in these huge, gigantic trust funds, sovereign debt, sovereign wealth, and nobody really knows who owns it. So, you know, the richest, most powerful people in the world remain nameless among the regular society.
Not anymore. Now they're starting to come out. They're coming out through particular channels, but they're coming out, man. I mean, if you really dig deep, you can find out some of these names that have been hidden forever, and they're out now. And they even have Facebook things because it's a game and a joke to them, and they're about to pull the curtains up because the hammer's going to get dropped down. They own everything on paper. They have enough people willing to protect the game and the system because they couldn't even fathom a world where they didn't actually have to work. Their own self-worth is tied up in their profession and in their labor and what they do. They couldn't imagine a place where they'd just be a human being and be able to pursue their passion. See, that's the whole thing. The ideology of labor, work, having to do these jobs in the machine, cog-like jobs in the machine that machines can already do, it's keeping us slaves.
Yeah, man, and it's all part of the scheme to keep us all hamsters in this wheel so that we can keep feeding it and feeding it and feeding it. Where's all the money? I mean, my check, you know, everyone's paycheck gets deducted from, right? And everyone gets their paycheck garnished by the government. And where does it all go? I mean, I don't have any accountability for my taxes. They I can't tell where my money's going. For all I know, money that I paid into the system has gone to a drone strike in Yemen that bombed a wedding party.
Right.
Who knows? So, I mean, I think the first step, because in my opinion, I don't think that people are ready for a completely anarchistic society where it's completely self-governorship. I just don't think we're there yet. But I think we can get there in the next 100 to 200, maybe a couple hundred years from now. But what we do need is to keep rolling back the curtain on this political situation. Because, let's face it, everybody that's anyone that's got a lot of power and wealth, for the most part, they've gotten there politically, and they've done it in a political way. Now, Elon Musk is one of these people that hasn't. You know, he's one of these brilliant guys that have made good decisions, great investments, smart ideas, and yeah, they get rich. But we're not talking about, you know, people that are like that are just mere millionaires. That's nothing. We're talking about the billions and trillions of dollars that go into co-opting and buying out everything. That we, you know, Coca-Cola to the TV stations to the gold mines to anything. It's all owned by all these corporations. And this is where we need to really, you know, get the awakening from and start to get out of these corporate top-down situations back to these more decentralized economics and stuff. Because I think we talked about it last Wednesday on our show about how fossil fuels are an existential threat to human freedom, just because it's a centralized energy production system.
Well, what will it do? It'll carbon tax everything. They'll blame it on humans. They'll blame it on everybody that's been able to do whatever they want, and they've had too much freedom. You know, they've basically been able to pollute the world, and now you're going to have to clean it up and put everyone in these biodomes. They can come up with all kinds of crazy schemes and things. Now, the truth is, yeah, warmest May ever that they've been able to record, sure. Now we're exacerbating a cycle in the system and making it more extreme, and we're ultimately hearkening an ice age 700 or 600 years before it's supposed to hit. They're supposed to come every 1,000 years. Our last one was 300 years ago, and now another one's on the verge because the climate corrects itself. If it gets too hot for whatever reason, if there's too much fauna and flora and there's too much CO2 and things just heat up naturally, an ice age comes and wipes out a lot of things and it resets the earth, and that's just going to happen again. We've spurred a cycle and we've sped it up.
Yeah, I mean, nature has an answer for anything that comes out unnaturally, you know, and just like we see with the whole GMO, you know, anti-weed GMOs and stuff, the weeds find a way to evolve, and the weeds find a way to, you know, outdo the Roundup. And I think that from what I can tell, and if you look at animal evolution and all that stuff, things always evolve, and they figure out a way to combat adversity. Now, the Earth as a whole, you know, if the Earth is seeing an increased level of CO2, then as a whole, there's going to be a reaction, whether it's the rainforest growing at like an exponential rate, or whether it's the rainforest dying off, or a bunch of animals start breeding and start destroying certain ecosystems and stuff, there's going to be a reaction to the stuff that we're doing. And humans are obviously creating a big burden on the environment, and there's going to be a planet-wide evolutionary reaction to what we're doing. And of course, we're going to see fluctuations in the weather, because what is the weather caused by? Well, it's caused by a lot of things. It's caused by the temperature. It's caused by the chemical makeup. It's caused by the amount of oxygen, the lack of oxygen, and the pulls from the planet, the other planets, and the sun and the moon and all that stuff. So when humans do these things where they impact the environment a lot, there's going to be this reaction from the environment, from the Earth, that is going to correct. You know, we can pollute all we want, but sooner or later the Earth will correct it, and it'll stop us from doing it, which is most likely what's going to happen if we don't get our act together pretty soon, because let's face it, global warming, man-made or not, climate change and all that stuff, whether any of that's true, we are, as humans, making a lot of pollution, a shitload. We're making a lot of plastics. We're using a lot of fossil fuels. We're doing a lot of things that are adding to the environment that wouldn't actually be there, you know, wouldn't occur naturally.
All right. We're creating things that aren't biodegradable, and we're using resources that aren't renewing or replacing themselves quickly enough to satisfy not even current demand, yet let alone growing, which it will become. So they're putting, you know, people that are prepared, connected, wealthy, will go underground where they can be good for a decade. They'll leave this destroyed ecosystem to everybody up here, and it'll wipe out a lot of people. Now, we can avoid that. We can head it off. We just need to reappropriate funds, you know, subsidize stuff. If Germany for 1 hour had no electric bill, that's only going to increase. And with their technology, oil can come right over here, and it can be subsidized here. I mean, if Peru can subsidize solar panels for the poor, we sure can. And we can get ourselves off of the fossil fuel kick tomorrow. But the political will needs to be there. People need to get that. They need to demand that. When they vote people in, it needs to be on some kind of platform that I'm going to get you off your grid. I'm going to be the first grid-free politician. I'm going to make everybody in my constituency get subsidized solar panels, turbines, so on and so forth, and I'll get the fluoride out of the water, and I'll co-op it. I mean, if things like that were promised and then actually done, and people were held accountable, county by county, we would take back the country.
Yeah, man, and I think that's the way we have to do it. because going at the federal level, man, it's almost impossible. It's all a money game. And I was in a conference call earlier. I can't disclose the details of it and stuff, but, you know, we're talking about ways of trying to combat the money just by creating just excellent content, you know, because among the marketing circles and stuff, it's a known fact that in the next few years that if people are paying these big bucks for marketing, they're not doing it right, because the new way of marketing is through good content, you know. And it's just like, if a lot of people like our show, then a lot of people would listen to it because it's good content, you know. And that's the new way of doing things. Right now, it's whoever's got the most money can jam out the most ads on TV that target. And we talked about these numbers. The people that are watching CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC, and these big stations, they're all very old, not senior citizens, but they're in their 50s and 60s. And the average age, the median age of someone that watches the O'Reilly Factor is 72. You know, and these are the people that are doing the voting. and we wonder why our situation is so bad. All of our policy and all of our politicians are being voted on by Republican and Democrat old people.
and that's not so hard to fix either, again, with technology. Everybody has a cell phone, and your information is attached to your number. So don't think everything you do isn't put into a file for you. So why not give you your ability to vote in this shamocracy and force it on you? Like, hey, bing, ding, ding, ding. Hey, it's like an Amber Alert. Vote, you moron. And write somebody in if you don't like either of the candidates. I mean, if 5% of a certain political party gets votes, they get federal funding. That's always been the whole game, was to try to get a third party, at least 5% of the vote, they'll get federal funding equal to the other two parties, which is a huge windfall. So those are things we got to do, man, and then eventually we'll transition to a humanless political machine, so to speak, that makes decisions, I guess, based on resource, because that's the only thing that would make sense to me.
Over in Canada, I mean, not Canada, man, in Nevada, there was a candidate, I think it was for Congress or Senate or one of these two things, that was just voted on. And you know who the top vote getter was?
Can't even fathom.
None of the above.
Yes. Well, then who went in? Nobody?
No, they had the guy that got second place won.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there needs to be a bunch of representatives. There's so many unemployed people right now. Let's carve up the government turkey some more. Let's get, I don't know, 5, 6, 10 times as many people. Get them down to the micro community level so people know who the heck is making decisions for them. That would be at least a start. Why are guys like Brian Bilbray not local celebrities? Why is he not Tony Gwynn? You know, why is, has the guy not done a decade plus of service and people know who he is and really like him? Well, people don't. They don't. They hate politicians just like they're starting to hate police or have been hating police. And how is a society and a country going to function in this way much longer?
We can't, man. It's I mean, people are getting to the point now where they don't even mind when police get shot. Okay, you know, there was a lot of people cheering on these guys that shot those cops in Las Vegas, and there was a lot of people that were cheering on that guy that shot those cops up in Canada. So, I mean, they've just worked up such a bad, you know, relationship with the people, and now they're just expected to fail, and no one likes them. And that's the same thing with the politicians, because they've just done such bad things. And it's not that they enter politics being bad people. Of course, some of them are. Some of them do. But it's the system that is really corrupting these people that are normal people that probably have good intentions when they get in. And then the NSA gets involved, and then you got, you know, the blackmail begins. And then the black, and you know, the all the upper echelons of the government, which are outside of congressional control, a lot of the time, are run by the corporate interest. The NSA is run by corporate interest, in my opinion. I mean, the contractors that make all the contracts are probably the ones that are really influencing the legislation. Just like the military industrial complex, the people that are, you know, the people that are behind the John McCain's of the Congress and stuff. You know, these are corporations that are set to benefit from any kind of foreign entanglement. These are the guys that build the bombs. These are the guys that build the jets and the planes and the helicopters and the nuclear research and all that stuff. You know, even Monsanto, I mean, and their offshoot, they have a chemical offshoot of Monsanto. And they probably work with the government to create these poisons and these chemicals and stuff. And let's not forget that they were part a big part of the Agent Orange things that went on during Vietnam and all that. So it all comes back to this corporateocracy, really, and the fact that our all the legislators and all the leaders, quote unquote leaders, are being basically just puppeteered by the money, and it's just ridiculous.
Yep, and it's just a revolving door too, because you always have these guys that'll, you know, work for the FDA and then go over to Monsanto, back and forth. So it's duplicitous. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what position these guys hold. They're all part of the same thing that holds you in pretty much this little prison, where you don't really have any real viable choices until you reach a very high wealth level, and then they consider you, I guess, not really a threat to what's going on, because now you're invested in it and you're not going to do anything to upset your lifestyle. And when people do, well, they, you know, when people in high places do things they don't like, they tend not to stick around too long, or they get marginalized or embroiled in some kind of controversy, but mostly they just end up dead. And that's been well documented.
It's the Hoover, you know, the Hoover situation. I tend to call it McCarthyism, but it's not McCarthyism. It's very similar. But it's the Hoover thing where they have the research, they have the NSA. Now, who's that general that got caught with his email? The head of the CIA, for you know, by all means, the head of the CIA got caught exchanging emails with this girl that he was having a relationship.
I mean, everybody uses it. That's the funny thing, is how many celebrities right now know damn well that everything they've done forever is in a little file for them to be used on them whenever they derive from their scripted existence. Once you get to a certain point of wealth, everything will become handled for you throughout your whole life. I mean, look how long these guys stay on tour, these musicians. These guys can barely stand because they're contractually obligated to go on tour every 3 or 4 years. They have to, or they lose everything. They'll lose it all in a big lawsuit, and that's the way the world works, man. It's Freakonomics is a way of life. If you've ever read a book and know how crazy things are and why the world is the way it is, it's because some crazy guy somewhere is making a whole lot of money making something weird happen. And it's just detrimental to us. We know that our economic system allows certain kingpins around the world to do whatever's in their whim because their power is extreme.
Yeah, man. it's all the more reason why we need to slowly but surely remove ourselves from this whole power structure and bring it back, reel it back in. And the government is just so symbolic. I compare, it's comparable to Walmart and the way Walmart works and how Walmart robs communities of their wealth and all that stuff. And really, the government works the same way. And they work hand in hand. They work hand in hand together, and they are able to basically siphon all the wealth out, and they cause all these problems for everybody. And the only way to keep combating it, whether you're going about it politically or through a more agoristic type of approach where you're trying to build your way out and find alternatives and build alternatives and use alternatives, the only way to do it is to get the power and the wealth and the resources decentralized and to get it back to where the people that are being affected by what's going on have control of what's going on. Because right now, you and me are not represented. I don't know who you voted for, but I cast a reluctant vote for, what's his name? Gary Johnson. I casted a reluctant Gary Johnson vote in 2012. And by all means, he didn't come close to winning. And none of the people in Congress did I vote for because they all sucked. All the people that made it to the ballot sucked. we don't have any representation. And it goes back to that old, you know, rally cry. No taxation without representation. Well, guess what? We aren't being represented and we're being taxed like all hell. So guess what? That same slogan comes back right now, I think. Because we're all being underrepresented and overtaxed.
What is it going to take for people to have happen to them before they understand what's going on? There's a particular chain of events that has to happen. If there's no disarmament, they can't collapse the economy. When they push so hard for the disarmament so that they can then collapse the economy, and then you'll lose everything you worked for your whole life. All your degrees you have, they may save you to some extent. Maybe you won't be put in one of these awful FEMA camps. Maybe you'll be put in a good one because you have an education and you may be useful. I mean, these awful things can happen because when you're completely subservient to a grid system and you can't feed yourself and clothe yourself and can't get water, they can do anything to you and there's nothing you can do. You'll do whatever they say. So this kind of situation is very, very imminent, and this is what it's all being set up for. Believe it.
Yeah, and that's what we got to prevent, man. And we talked about it at the beginning of the show. my stance on immigration, I think immigration is great. I just think that our system is broken, and therefore it will hurt the middle class. But it's not the middle class's fault, and it's not the immigrants' fault. It's the power structure that's the flaw in the whole thing. Now, of course, we're causing it all and we're doing that thing. But it's symbolic of what we're dealing with on every level. I mean, things that are supposed to be good, you know, you come up with an idea and it's supposed to be a good thing. And then the government comes in and says, oh, well, we're going to tax the hell out of you. Or we're going to do what they did to the Tesla car in New Jersey, and I think also in Texas, you know, quote-unquote small government Texas, where they banned the Tesla car from being sold, and in New Jersey where where Tesla can't sell their cars. You know, that's what we're dealing with. They don't want to see – they say that they want to see innovation. They say they want to see entrepreneurs. But at the same time, all the policies go against the entrepreneurs. They go against the innovation and the free flow of information. And it's all being manipulated, not only by the people that are wealthy, but by the power structure. And that's where we need the reform.
And we got to do many things in hand in hand. We got to get everyone off grid, and we got to get the government to pay for it while we still have a voice. We got to get everyone free education, especially higher education, while we still have a voice. And we've got to stop the persecution of people pulling their kids out of these awful public schools for homeschooling and actually start a good homeschool program, you know? At least Ron Paul was taking the initiative to start his internet school program up. There's got to be some kind of curriculum developed. It's got to be some kind of standard so that they can pass tests to get into college, because let's face it, the best people in the world are still going to want to teach in a classical environment, give lectures, have labs. That's not going to change in our lifetime. So we still need our children to work towards getting into good colleges. And for people that fret about socialization, have them join a sports team. Have them do anything else. Have them do a hobby where there's groups of kids, and they'll make actual friends, not just people they went to school with, people they have things they have in common. So there's new ways to go about changing the world. The thing is that the people that have been there forever on the top are really, really afraid of the change going on, and they're going to do anything they can to stop it. Business as usual, even if the world ends in the way we know it and the ecosystem is destroyed, it's still better than them giving even an iota of power up.
And, you know, we talk about it all the time, the whole thing about getting your food at least locally sourced, getting to know your farmer if you can't grow your own food, or join some kind of co-op or crop sharing, or, you know, some kind of guerrilla gardening or whatever. And this kind of brings us right into our next story. If anyone wants to call in and chime in on anything we're talking about, feel free. The number is 718-717-8296. Phone lines are open if anyone wants to call in. Now this next story. Pesticide exposure in pregnancy tied to autism risk. Okay. Now, we're talking about autism growing at this exponential rate. It was only a few years ago where it was 1 in 500 children. Now it's up to 1 in 88. I mean, we're talking about an epidemic. And mainstream science has been saying, oh, well, we're trying to figure out what it is. We can't figure it out. Now we got this study out of UC Davis. Pesticide exposure helping to cause autism. And this ties into one of our main themes here on the anti-media about getting self-sufficient with your food. Because if these pesticides are causing autism, it means that they're causing, you know, this kind of, you know, biological damage to these children. And it's growing at this exponential rate. And yep. So for any time that you're buying, quote-unquote conventional food, which I hate that they call it that, because this food is by all means not conventional at all. You're supporting the rise of autism now, according to this study out of UC Davis. And UC Davis isn't a school to be taken as a joke. I mean, it's a pretty prestigious school. now we know that...
What Shane is kind of spearheading, the knowledge that these things are going to come back and bite the Grocery Manufacturers Association in the butt when all these lawsuits start up, is Fresh and Easy, which now is going to have their own line of organics, which they say will compete on the price point, because they're not going to allow themselves to take the PR hit saying, we didn't give you the option, we outpriced something that was a healthier option for you. Because all these things are going to get hit and sued. I mean, when the correlation begins, when people understand the food they fed their children caused them to become sick for life, and they weren't told about it, even though these companies knew about it from their own research, the lawsuits will never end. So anything that a lot of these guys can do preemptively to get away from it, they're going to start doing it. And you can see the bell is going to start to be tolled.
Now, this study is a preliminary study, and it was only showing the effects of people living within close proximity of where pesticides were actually being sprayed. Okay, so they weren't checking the pesticide in the food, per se. They were just checking people that lived nearby where these pesticides were being used, and those people exhibited much higher chances of autism. Now, the one thing that we need to, you know, take into consideration, that having a child with autism is about $2 million per child per person that has autism, and we're talking about the doctor costs and the medication and, you know, whatever other costs go involved. Now that calculates to over $200 billion a year now in the U.S. alone. $200 billion a year in costs for autism. Okay, so we're talking about a huge chunk of the economy now, where it's going towards this man-made, manufactured disease, manufactured illness people are getting due to our pollution, due to the stuff that we're putting into the environment, into the food supply, into the water supply. Now, let's not forget about at least 70%, if not more, of the U.S. water supply would test positive for pretty high levels of pesticide, because most of the water runoff comes from areas where they grow the crops, and they're growing these crops with GMOs, or they're growing them with a bunch of pesticides. And I mean, there's no denying that there's a massive level of pesticides in a massive number of people's drinking water. And to not sit here and think that that could possibly be tied in with the rise of autism would be foolish. So now this study does say it's you know, people that live nearby, but to think that it doesn't also have to do with something that's in our water or our food would be kind of short-sighted, I think. I'm pretty sure that for there to be 1 in 88 kids being born with autism, there isn't 1 in 88 people being brought up around these chemical pesticide farms, because for the most part where these farms are in rural areas and where most of the population lives, it's in urban or in cities. So, I mean, in cities where, you know, there's, what, 3 million people in the San Diego metropolitan area, there's like 10 million people or more in the Los Angeles area.
Well, all you have to do, Nick, is look at Bakersfield, man. Just do the research on their health problems. There's other little pocket communities. Simi Valley is another one, but that's for extenuating circumstances that they're a hot spot for radiation. But Bakersfield has huge numbers of problems because they're the breadbasket of SoCal. All the food that feeds LA comes through there. They have pesticides all over the place. You can see planes, those old triplanes flying around dumping all day and night. Actually, that whole Central Valley area is just, it's fumigated nonstop. And they've shown, you know, even the groundwater now is laced. It's the point where, you know, there's problems with fertility and lowered IQ. And now, to compound the problem, they're fluoridating a lot of these water supplies too. So just use the Central Valley of California as a perfect test bed. Look up the statistics, and they're damning.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it, because that's where all the food is grown, and that's where all the pesticides are being sprayed. You know, and they probably have higher rates of autism as well. I wouldn't doubt, with this new study, I wouldn't doubt that they would have the higher rates of autism. Now, let's get into some of this technology stuff, man. And you sent me this article earlier in the week, and I was checking it out, about this drone now. That it's a drone that flies around and it carries a couple hundred rounds of pepper spray paintballs. And just the fact that this technology is just getting ever encroaching. Now, we got another story that came out today about the first thief in Chicago was just caught via face recognition.
That sucks for that guy. I mean, hey, don't do the crime and be caught on film. Now, for that, yeah, it sucks. But now where it gets dicey is at a protest that's legal, that's lawful. It is our right as people to have our voices be heard in a nonviolent manner. Now you get put on some kind of a gulag list or something. There's no other reason for this. So it's a double-edged sword. Can it be used for good? Sure. Can it be used for bad? It will be. It was designed for both, really. It was designed to satisfy the public's acceptance by doing something good, and then it'll be turned around when it needs to be turned around. Now, the drones can be dispensed anywhere. This drone, the funny thing about it is now there's, of course, the Russian pizza drone delivery that's actually a reality now, and when they're delivering, they're just not going to use humans anymore. The traffic's too bad in Moscow.
Yeah.
So it's a double-edged sword for
everyone. Hey, and think about the carbon footprint, right?
Right, right.
So when you're exactly. delivering a pizza on a car, that's pretty inefficient.
That's very inefficient. A drone can be completely powered by solar if you had it set
especially
up.
Especially if there's traffic, like you're saying in Moscow. You right. know, it may take a guy 45 minutes.
Two hours. 2 hours is the average over there.
Yeah.
During like their rush hour, which I guess is like pretty much half the day. So it's a gridlock. Sao Paulo is now the next place it's going to be. And they're going to test bet it with the World Cup, of course. And we can even talk about how they've been using a lot of these drones on people in the favelas. They're sending in these drones first. And if people fire at them or do whatever, they shoot. Gas canisters. They have the same stuff over there. So it's how they evict people, too. They go by with a drone and shoot a canister into each house, and the people run out of the house and leave. So 250,000 people already have lost their homes for nothing.
Yeah, man. So there's two sides of this technology. It could be used for good, reducing our carbon footprint. Now, if all the drones are owned by Pizza Hut, that's obviously going to be a problem. You know, because then there's a monopoly on the technology, and that leads to a bunch of hardworking people losing their livelihoods and losing their way of life. You know, but at the same time,
well, you know what? If we allow it to free us, it's fine. We just can't. We cannot continue to buy into the. He doesn't have a job. He's a bum. Forget about him. He's not worth it. No. Free training, free education. That's the answer. Now, when that's provided and someone's still like, nah, I'm not down, well, then you can say that. But until we have a system where our money's put into training people continually, giving them the opportunities, then, yeah. But do I want pizza drivers to be out of jobs? No, because they're not going to get free college. But if they had free college, then, yeah, I do.
Exactly, because, I mean, nobody really wants to have a career as a pizza delivery guy.
No.
And if it could be done by a drone, cool. But if these drones are owned by just the same handful of corporatist oligarchs that are in charge of all the capital right now, then yeah, that's a problem. Because then no one's going to have access to the resources or the wealth that is being created by these drones and by these computers and by these machines. And I think that's what we see now. And I think also that's what is so encouraging about the open source technology, about what the Tesla car company did. It's open sourcing this technology. It's not monopolizing it. It's the opposite. It's freeing it. So in the end, we could either have Skynet, where everybody is enslaved by the machine, and then whoever controls the machines is in control of everything.
Well, we could
have a situation where the machines are actually our liberation, and they free us up from all this mundane physical tasking, and they free us up to do all these awesome things. Now, the question is, is all the wealth and all the control going to be hoarded by the same idiots that are hoarding it now, or is it going to be all open source and all open for everybody to benefit from? And that's where we need to work towards, in my opinion.
We know it's going to be that way. It was that way 100 years ago. Henry Ford didn't monopolize the assembly line. And you can't kill an idea, and you can't copyright an idea, and we can't allow these endless intellectual property, ridiculous mind games to continue. Everything's got to be available for everybody, and everybody will get all their needs met for free, and luxuries will go to those who are the best at what they do.
So, hey, quickly before we end the show, and I agree with you 100% on what you're saying about IP, trademarking, and all that stuff. Trademarking and IP and all that stuff, it's all that is corporate welfare. That's all it is. It's you have the way to register with the government, and then if anyone uses it, you use the government to go after them in court, right? So this whole thing with the Redskins, everyone's like, well, get the government out of the business of football. Well, all they did was lose their trademark. That was a government assistant right there. So the government getting out of the trademark with the Redskins, that's actually a move in the right direction, but they need to do it for the rest of them. Catch you guys. See you Wednesday.